We will read from God's Word, Revelation 3. As you might know, Revelation 2 and 3 is a collection of seven letters to churches originally in Asia Minor, the west coast of what we call Turkey today. And those seven letters are written on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to these seven churches that all have to deal with different challenges, different problems, and different levels of maturity. In light of our theme this afternoon, which is about the honoring of God's name, we will read the sixth of those letters, the letter to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 7 through 13. So hear now the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In connection with this Bible reading, we'll also read the confession of our church in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 36. You can find that on page 890 in the Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 36, which is about the third commandment, you shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. What is God's will for us in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in everything we do and say. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded it to be punished with death. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just read a letter from Jesus to a church. The Apostle John, or the Evangelist John, had to write down those letters and send them out on behalf of the risen Lord, who had appeared to him in a majestic vision. Jesus, the one who once died but now lives forever, dictated these letters to encourage and to instruct his church. The particular letter that we read was for a church in Philadelphia, so that's a Greek town in what is nowadays western Turkey. It's a bit inland at the foot of a mountain. In case you want to look it up, I think if you Google Philadelphia, you will not find West Turkey. Today it's a Turkish city with the name of Alashehir. There was a Christian congregation there in this early time of the Christian church, perhaps a daughter church from the church in Ephesus where Paul had initially preached the gospel. Now, what stands out in this letter to Philadelphia, as opposed to the other, most of the other letters in these chapters, is that the Lord has no criticism on the church in Philadelphia. He praises them instead. He praises them for their faithfulness and he encourages them. Especially in verse 8, right at the beginning, the Lord says, for you have little strength, you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. You have kept my command to persevere, and you have kept it patiently. Keeping the word of the Lord and not denying his name. That was the strength of the church in Philadelphia for which the Lord praises them. They put in practice what is at the heart of the third commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord our God. Instead of misusing the name of the Lord, this church kept the word and honored the name. And in this regard, the church in Philadelphia is a shining example for us and an encouragement. Let us too give a positive, implementation of the third commandment. What does it mean for us? Not only not to use God's name in vain, but to use it in the right way, in an honoring way. So that's what we look at this afternoon under the theme, the importance of the name of Jesus. The importance of the name of Jesus. We will first look at abuses of that name, and then secondly, at the honoring of the name. So, when you hear the third commandment, as we read it this morning, you shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. You may think first and foremost of using swear words, expletives, people who say, my God, at every moment, or say, Jesus, at the drop of a hat, without meaning any of the real content of these words. That is certainly an abuse of the name of the Lord that we must avoid. You know that, no swearing. No cussing, that's bad. But there were people in Philadelphia that abused the name of the Lord in a way that was a whole lot worse, and they did so deliberately. And our text does not give much detail, so we have to kind of fill in the picture using information from elsewhere. The abuses of God's name in this letter are described as those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Verse 9. Clearly, these people call themselves Jews. They call themselves a synagogue. But their words and actions belied these labels. So, who were those people and what did they do? Well, who were these people? John says, or Jesus in this letter actually says, they say they are Jews and are not. You may be surprised to learn that these people, we probably would call them Jews. People who worship the God of Abraham, who followed the laws of Moses, who sang the songs of David, people who were circumcised, who followed the dietary laws from the Bible, who did not work on the Sabbath, but they were not truly Jews. They were not truly servants of the Lord, ultimately, because they did not receive the greatest and ultimate revelation of the Lord. And that is the Messiah, the promised Savior. They had missed the boat by not believing the gospel about Jesus and therefore failed to be what they claimed to be, followers of the God who had promised to send his Messiah and who had finally fulfilled that promise now. We tend to call these people Jews, but this letter says, yeah, you call yourself Jews, but you really aren't, because you are disqualifying yourself by denying the most important thing that being a Jew was all about, and that is waiting for the Messiah of God to bring the salvation of God, and now it has come, and you deny it. These people in Philadelphia thought that they served the Lord God, but they denied his greatest work. And that was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not part of the community of those who believed in Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of all the promises to all the Jews. And therefore, even though you call yourself a Jew, even though we would call them Jews, they really lied. And that is a violation of the third commandment, you see. That is blasphemy. Paul makes this point when he looks back on his own days as a persecutor of the Christian church. Paul was a zealous Jew. If you would rank Paul for faithfulness to the Jewish customs and faith and theology, he would score A's in all categories. He was even a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. But he recognizes, 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, I was once a blasphemer. He didn't say, well, yeah, I got it all right, except I missed the part about Jesus. No, he says, I got this wrong, and therefore I was a blasphemer, someone who abused the name of the Lord. In Philadelphia of that time, and still today throughout the world, there are many, many Jews who have all the background. Children of Abraham, they have the law, they have all the practices, but they deny that Jesus is Lord. And that is ultimately blasphemy. It's a violation of the third commandment. And that is because God has bound his glory, his reputation, his name, up with the glory of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given to us under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus has been given a name above all names. Everyone must bow in his name, and anyone who refuses to do that violates the commandments and abuses the name of the Lord. Anyone who preaches God but does not honor the Christ of God is ultimately a blasphemer. Any group of such people is a synagogue of Satan. And the church in Philadelphia, they recognized this and they kept their distance from these Jews who missed out on faith in the Messiah. They stuck to the teaching of Jesus and his apostles. They were not swayed from confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and as the only Savior, as the fulfillment of all prophecy, and as their Lord and King. And that is why they are complimented here. You kept my name. Now, it would be a temptation for us to shake our head at those Jews who denied Jesus and to say, well, thankfully we know better, don't we? We do not abuse the name of the Lord. We confess the name of Jesus, don't we? Yes, we do, by the grace of God. But we are not immune to temptation. Also in regards to this third commandment, that we should not abuse the name of the Lord, that we should confess his name. In Lord's Day 47, the discussion about the Lord's Prayer, the Catechism admonishes us to direct our whole life, our thoughts, our words, our actions, in such a way that God's name may not be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. So if we call ourselves Christians, which means we take the word of Christ, right, into our own identity, If we call ourselves Christians, then our words and deeds reflect on our Lord. If we behave in a hateful way, it makes Jesus Christ look hateful. If we engage in sneaky business, it makes Jesus Christ look sneaky. If we talk filthy talk, it throws mud on the honor of Jesus Christ. It degrades his reputation, his name, and that too is a violation of the third commandment. We should not only confess the name of Christ, we should honor his name. The Christians in Philadelphia were bullied, it seems, by the Jewish synagogue who wished to silence the gospel of Jesus, who wanted to get rid of the proclamation of his name. In our time, the church is pressured to stop talking about Jesus Christ and his teaching, to allow many things in his name. Just an example, a few years ago, I worked with a colleague who had a background in the United Methodist Churches in the United States. And she said, well, it was a nice General Assembly we had, a nice synod, but there was too much Christ talk. And there you see that there's even pressure sometimes from inside church communities to stop talking about Jesus all the time, because that divides, because it makes people feel bad about themselves, because it's so exclusive. But from the opposite end, we are also pressured by people who promote hatred and radical views under the guise of Christianity. There are some anti-cultural movements that claim to be Christian, but at heart they are not. They also tempt us to abuse the name of the Lord, so either being silent about him or by enlisting him for our own social and political hobby horses. All of those are challenges where we too can be tempted and pressured into denying the name and abusing it. Yet you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name, wrote Jesus to the Philadelphians. You, church in Philadelphia, you have kept the third commandment in its most positive sense. You have honored me, my name, my reputation. What a wonderful compliment. Wouldn't you love to hear this as a church of Jesus? Wouldn't you love to get this letter from the Lord? And the first thing he tells you is, what a wonderful job you do of honoring me. Our text here in Revelation 3, verse 8, connects not denying Jesus' name to keeping his word. Those are really the same thing. If we confess Jesus' name, but we don't do what he instructed us to do, then we're really not confessing him. Because then it's clear we don't take him seriously in the first place. So what point is there in using his name? Confessing and honoring Jesus as our Lord and King means precisely that his words and his teaching and his example have the highest priority in our lives. So that is the point of the third commandment, honoring the name of God as we know him in Jesus Christ. Because as a New Testament church, we look back on the Old Testament law, where it was Yahweh who made a covenant with people and said, don't abuse my name. But we look back and we know that we only know Yahweh, that we fully know Yahweh in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't hesitate to say that the third commandment is about honoring the name of God as we know him in Jesus Christ. And not just in words, not just by making sure that what we say about him sounds biblical, but by honoring him, by listening to him and putting his words in practice. Now again, we don't know in detail what the church in Philadelphia did. There are many times when I read through the Bible and I think, look, If I could just have a little appendix here, a little footnote that tells me exactly what they did so right, and what, how they implemented it, and what programs they had, and how they did their outreach, and how they did their services, wouldn't that be so useful? But the Bible is not interested in telling us that. It mentions one thing in verse 10. You have kept my command to persevere. Literally, you have kept my word of endurance, my word of perseverance. So they honored Jesus by doing what he said. And it wasn't so much doing, because enduring or persevering doesn't mean that you're doing this amazing activity. It's not something that you advertise on your church sign, like we are a church, we endure more, we persevere more actively than the other churches around here. It is a very passive thing to persevere, to endure. But it is a key activity of any faithful church in Christ. It's the one thing that we know this church in Philadelphia did and did well. Whatever happens, whatever challenges you may be facing, whatever difficulty comes your way, endure it patiently, or in older English, persevere. Hold out. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the confession. Hold on to the hope that the Lord has given you. And sometimes, when the going is really rough, it's all you can do. But do it faithfully, because the Lord will see it and he will reward it. And it's certainly our calling as a church, also here as a church in Woodstock, to endure in the faith in our Lord Jesus and all that belongs to it. Persevere. In the time of the time that I wrote this sermon, it was about 2 years ago, I wrote, especially in this time of coronavirus, our calling to endure becomes more obvious. Looking back, how true was that? To persevere in our faith in the Lord, even when your life has changed, even when you're scared of a virus, even when you're worried about getting sick, even when you fear for family members who are ill, even when your employment has become uncertain, even when the economy is going down and getting worse, persevere in the hope in the Lord, that he is still with you, that he is right there, that his love is not any less, that he is still the only Savior, still the only way and truth and life, that he will still give you all that you need, even eternal life. Live your life in the name of the Lord Jesus in obedience to his teaching. To persevere in our faith in the Lord as families, studying his word together, praying together, loving one another, finding ways to be a blessing to others, even in a time that things have fallen apart. Live your family life in the name of the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his teaching. To endure in our faith in the Lord, to persevere as his church, especially now that we cannot, well, now we can, but especially when it is hard to be together physically sometimes, it still is for some. Let us endure by speaking or typing to each other words of encouragement, to help each other grow in a loving way, to pray for one another, to bless each other in the name of the Lord. Let us live our church life in the name of the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his teaching. To persevere in the faith of our Lord, in our dealing with outsiders, showing our willingness to respect our society and our governments and their laws, even if we may not agree with everything. Showing our care by being considerate to people, respectful to those who serve us, joyful in our work, encouraging to fellow workers. To persevere in our faith by continuing to tell the story of Jesus and his cross, even in a time that people want to hear it less and less. And how wonderful would it be if after the crisis has passed, People would testify of us. You know those Christians? They really cared. They really showed love and concern. They helped out in the name of their Lord. And there's always a next crisis in which we are challenged to persevere and live out our life before the world in the name of the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his teaching. The Christians in Philadelphia honored the name of the Lord by persevering in all the challenges that were placed on their path, including hatred from the Jewish synagogue and who knows what else. May God's people in Woodstock too honor him also by persevering in whatever situation the Lord places us. Now for his faithful church, the church that honors his name, Jesus Christ not only gives a compliment here at the beginning of the letter in verse 8, but he also gives rich promises later. He says, actually in verse 7 already, I have placed before you an open door. Oh no, it's not in verse 7. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. The group of Christians in Philadelphia was small and weak, and they may have felt dwarfed and overwhelmed by the opposition they faced. But the Lord said, I have opened a door for you, the door to peace, the door to eternal life, that even not your greatest enemy can close. They can bully all you want. That they cannot do. In fact, in verse 9, the Lord promises a remarkable victory to the church. He talks about those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Those who are now denying the name of Jesus and are bothering the church of Jesus, they will come in the end and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that God loves you. You just wait, says the Lord. You will see the name of Jesus is so powerful that enemies can be turned into friends and blasphemers can be turned into worshipers, just like Paul, who met Jesus one day in his blinding light and was turned around. And the Lord promises more rewards to his faithful church. In verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you. I will keep you. I will keep you safe in the trials that are to come yet. I will give you the support that you need to persevere and to remain faithful. I will give you the strength so that you will never be tempted to deny me. And finally, if we are faithful with regard to this third commandment instruction to honor the name of the Lord, faithful in honoring God's name in word and in deed, faithful in confessing the Lord Jesus in our lives, then we can always count on the Lord's faithfulness to us. The Lord Jesus himself, says verse 12, will write his new name on us, on his church. And we may share in the abundant glory that has been given to that name above all names. So rich blessings, an open door, changing hearts, safekeeping, and sharing in the glory of the name. That is the promise for the church. That's the promise for us if we continue faithfully along the line of the third commandment, honoring the name of our Lord Jesus. Shall we pray that the Lord may give that to us? Our gracious God and Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us, your glorious name, your great majesty, your wonderful reputation, and that you have also given yourself to the world in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize, Lord, that we know you through him, that we honor your name by honoring him. And so we pray, Lord, that not only in our words, but in our thoughts and in our motivations, in our basic reasonings, in our in our very actions, we may be guided by the name of Christ, and how glorious it is, and our duty to honor him who is our King. We pray, Lord, that you give us the wisdom to do so, that you give us especially the strength to endure, to persevere when things get hard, when society pushes us to be silent about the name of Jesus, or when people claim that he is about something very different. We pray, Lord, that we may confess him as he is, our Savior and our Lord, who is the only way and truth and life. And we thank you, Lord, that you have promised a wonderful reward for all those who do so. And so we ask, Lord, that also as a church here in Woodstock, you keep us faithful so that we may receive from you the same evaluation as this church of old in Philadelphia, that you have kept my word and you have honored my name. And so we ask, Lord, that your Spirit may make this true in our life here as well. We ask all this in the glorious name of Christ alone. Amen.